What is going on, Badger fans? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. The staff is complete. What do we think about Luke Fickell's latest hire at running backs coach and the staff in general? We're going to get into that, plus grading some positional groups post-transfer. A lot of stuff. Great guest on Wisconsin. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. A fun show today. Luke Fickell completed his staff. We're going to talk about the new running backs coach, bring Justin on the show, and get into some other things we want to talk about as well. But let's start here. The staff is complete, Justin. Devin Spaulding comes aboard from Youngstown State. I like this hire, but my first reaction wasn't like, I'm thrilled by this. I'm curious where you're at on Spaulding.
I was similar. I think, listen, you and I talked about what I wanted out of a running back coach several times coming into this. And my view on it has always been get somebody young, hungry, energetic, and who has some recruiting chops. Somebody that's going to beat down doors for you and go out there and get guys. And I think there's a lot of potential that this is one of those guys. Now, does he have a national reputation at this point? No, I don't think he does. Did Thomas Brown when he came to Wisconsin? Mm-mm. No. So I think there's some corollaries there. Now, my view on running back coaches is kind of this. If you're a running back coach 10 years after you started it, it probably means there's some warts to you. Because there's not a lot of guys that come in and be like, I want to be a running back coach for my entire career. There are some guys. Guys that they just want to settle in and do it. But most people, it's a jump. It's a starting point to be like, I'm going to do this for a few years. Maybe depending on the offense I'm in, I go to wide receiver, or maybe if I'm really lucky, I jump all the way up to offensive coordinator. But that it's like the stepping stone. And that tends to be more where players are going. If their ceiling isn't that I want to be a head coach eventually, but running back coach is normally a position that a guy probably does for 3 to 6 years and then jumps to something else.
A couple things I like here. Like I said, initially, you know, I'm a fan like a lot of people. Yeah. I was looking for some name recognition. And when I saw Spaulding come across, I did the furrowed brow and then went right to the Google.com machine. But initially, after just kind of seeing, I don't really know this name, you dig into it. I like that he's another guy with Midwestern ties.
Yeah.
I think that it's a guy who, listen, if you're coming from that level of football into the Big Ten, into Wisconsin, you should be coming with a whole lot of recruiting hunger. Like, mm-hmm. I expect him to be a pretty dynamic recruiter. I don't think Luke Fickell would have hired him if not. And then there's a Fickell connection here. He was a GA under Fickell. So, again, Fickell has earned, in my opinion, a level of benefit of trust and benefit of doubt that if Fickell worked with him and likes him for this spot, I'm willing to roll with that.
Oh, yeah.
Really quick, too, a guy – last year, he coached, I have the name right here, Jaleel McLaughlin. Anyway, McLaughlin ran for 1,500 yards underneath him and won the Walter Payton Award as the top offensive player in the FCS. So a guy with a running back background, he played in Central Michigan, Midwestern ties, he's worked with Fickell, should be a young recruiter, and his positional group excelled last year. There's a lot of boxes it checks here.
Yeah, and he also has a tie to an area for talent that Fickell is very close to, in Michigan and Ohio, which are, to be quite frank, amazing areas for us to get into. Like, if we can pull a running back every cycle from Ohio, it's probably going to be somebody that's going to be a fairly well-regarded prospect.
Agreed. Let's get a couple of these comments up here. We have quite a few about the running backs coach already. Chad Coyer said, almost seems like the new running backs coach will be learning from the running backs already at Wisconsin. This is a young cat. I think he's about Stetson Bennett's age, which we have another comment in here about that.
So 35?
Yeah, 38 years old. This is a young cat, which, again, I think it's good to have a balance on the staff, right? I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about Devin Spaulding. Yeah. But
no, I listen, there's it's okay to have some apprehension regarding this hire. Is he an absolute home run hire? Like, I don't know how many, if we were to go into college football and start rating like running back coaches, I might make it through two guys before I run out of guys that I can name off the top of my head. Like, it's not easy to go in there and be like, who are the top 10 running back coaches in the country? You're looking for guys who are young, hungry, and that have some acumen for it. Now, this is a guy who played the position and he's coached it for 3 years. So I feel comfortable that he probably has a fairly decent idea of what he's doing as a running back coach. But I also think he's nice and young, and you probably – listen, what happens with guys is they get older as a coach, and they don't want to be on the road as much. They may start having a family and everything else, and it's like that's where that hunger disappears. Like there's just more things that – more responsibilities that you have in life that make it harder to be the young guy who can be out on the road for a week and a half, you know, straight without worrying about anything.
Listen, age makes it harder to do
that. Oh, yeah, that too.
Other responsibilities. Getting up in the morning.
Listen, I need the coffee in the morning, believe me.
Yeah. Let's be honest here. Youth has its many advantages in life and disadvantages. Let's keep taking some of these comments here. Roy Lemus says, name recognition gets you in on recruits. Don't see it here. Hope that Wisconsin name gets attention. Yeah, listen, Gary Brown had a level of name recognition that would always open a door for a high school running back, right? This particular hire definitely doesn't have that, but it doesn't mean he's not going to build those relationships.
Listen, Gary Brown was not the name that got him in the doors.
It helped.
You know the name that got him in the doors. I coached
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, exactly. It's who have you coached? Now, there's something to be said for that, but he's got training wheels on him with Phil Longo, who can say, oh, yeah, I was the offensive coordinator for these three running backs from UNC. And that gets you in the door. And then that's what he gets to sell to start. I can get you into this offense that allows you to be play like these guys played. You're going to play against a six-man box. You're going to be able to run through these huge truck-sized holes. You're going to love it. You're going to average 7.5 yards a carry. It's going to be amazing for you.
And again, Mason Sinsala here hits on something we were talking about. Luke Fickell brought him in, and Luke Fickell knows him. That's a listen,
he was a GA under Fickell.
And it's a great point, Mason. Like if Luke's on board, Luke worked with him, like was in a football environment with him. It's hard for us to sit here and say, oh, bad hire. Like, no, I think we trust Luke Fickell's judgment on the staff. Monty D brings up the obvious point. At least he has running back experience.
Yeah, that's a start.
Our last coach didn't. Yeah, it's very true. I appreciate the comments, Monte, as always. Brady Steinberg said the same thing. We had an offensive lineman as a running back coach. Agreed. Like it's certainly better. Slim Lewis says the same type of thing. Fickell worked with the running back coach previously. I trust Fickell. Players and recruits connect with younger coaches sometimes. Yeah. That's a great point.
Especially skill position guys. I just think that there's a lot of truth in that. Like you want somebody who has an idea what it's like to be in the backfield or running around and can still move a little bit.
And Matthew Anderson says, I trust Fickell until proven otherwise. Already worked with him and coached the best player in the FCS. Every coach can't be Longo level. You can't afford that. Yeah. That's a good point because we heard in the Discord, there were some comments or questions about, I wonder if this is a money thing. Maybe they had a bigger plan A. But you can't have an entire staff. You're just not going to cherry pick the top of the board, most expensive positional coach at every spot. You need some guys like this that are up-and-comers, that are really hungry. I think Matthew has a good point there. And to his point, again, we talked about it. He coached an absolute stud at running back. It's a pretty good selling point.
Yeah. I think there's enough there to give him a benefit of the doubt for now. And it's also okay to admit that, you know, Fickell may not hit on every coach this first run through. And there's nothing wrong with that. The bigger thing with it is, if you miss on somebody, do you own up to it and take accountability for it and fix the issue? That's where you find out how good your coach is.
Right. The adaptability and the flexibility to change courses, I think.
And that being said, I am high on this guy. Like, I don't want to come off like I'm not thinking that this guy is going to be a win. I think there's a lot to like there with the getting a young guy who's hungry.
I agree. I 100% agree. Let's see some more comments here quick. I saw this one just pop up. I didn't see this one. Dustin Reese says Jim Leonard set to interview for Vikings DC job. Is that true?
I've heard some things that are kind of out there. Maybe. It can't be worse.
Oh, that would be crazy. Again, I'm not a Packers fan, so I don't have this Vikings animosity that a lot of people do.
He's going to need like 10 draft picks to add some youth to that team too, then.
All right, let's take a really quick break here. We're getting coming up next. This is something I'm excited to do. And this is the biggest reason I want to do a live show today, because I want y'all's opinion on this for the people that are listening live. We're going to go through post transfer portal and grade the positions quick, do a high overview. So we're not going into the weeds deep on anything, but grade all of our offensive and defense positions. This is really where I wanted y'all's feedback on this to let Justin know where he's wrong. Because I'm going to be dead on. That's coming up next on Locked On Badgers. What are we ranking all these positions after the portal edition? But first, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline, I talk about it a lot, is your number one source for all your betting needs, information, live casino games, blackjack, roulette, plus all the sports information, a wealth treasure trove of it in one location, podcasts, newsletters. It's all there. It's a place I use for live in-game betting, futures betting. My Niners Super Bowl bet is just rolling along an unstoppable train right now. They're going to get through Dallas this weekend. I have money on that one, BetOnline as well. They are definitely going to get through Dak Prescott and that overrated Dallas team. But it's also something to use for again, live in-game betting. If a game isn't going the way you want to, instead of just kind of turning it off, you can get in on the action still and have some fun with it. Do it responsibly, but have fun with it. Enjoy it. It's one of the places we go to. Grab your mobile device, head to the website today, BetOnline, where the game starts. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. If you like it, hit that subscribe button, tell other people about it. We really do appreciate it as we continue to build this community for all of us. And with that, go check out Locked On College Basketball as your second listen today. All the biggest basketball, college basketball stories in one spot. Locked On gets you all hooked up with that. And with that, let's bring Justin back on, get this going. Justin, we are grading all the positions post-transfer portal. Let's start with quarterback. We're going to start with offense.
One real quick thing, and you want to throw this one up there from Ryan Robin.
I'm all about it. Let's go.
The do workouts start? I believe they actually start this week. So football workouts, the off-season workout regimen should start, I think it's this week already. I think Brady Collins actually sent out a tweet saying, let's get to it. Classes, I believe, start next week, but I think the football players are back already last week. They got in, I believe. We saw some tweets, guys arriving on the weekend, and they start training this week. So they're under their off-season program.
Yeah, Brady Collins is somebody, yes, he's a fun follow on Twitter for sure. Justin, let's get into grading our positions. And this is where I definitely want y'all's feedback on this. Ryan Robin cues in with thanks, Justin, for that. Let's start at quarterback. Grade. Are we doing overall positional health or just for 2023? That's an important
distinction. Overall positional health.
Okay. So let's go quarterback to start with, Justin. We'll take turns doing the grades first. I'm going to kick it to you first.
Actually, let's do both. Real quick, I think we can do it quickly.
We're only doing one segment.
All right. Well, all right. Let's do it here. So what I'm looking at for 2023, I think it's an A minus. For overall, I'm going to say it's an A plus. So I say it's an A minus for this year because there's a lack of seasoned depth behind Mordecai. That being said, I really like the level of talent that's in that room behind him.
Yeah, I'm going to go A and A plus. I mean, I think you're bringing in a quarterback with 72 touchdowns the last couple of years. And behind him, I think our old mentality is still there where we think quarterbacks, but we're just kind of beaten into us that a young quarterback can't step in. I think most other schools.
We feel a lot better about that, the raw tools of those guys going in there than what we had.
So I think it's A present day for next year and A plus for the future. All right, let's go running back.
I'm going to say that given the injury concerns and everything else, I'm going to say it's a B. I might even be B minus. I really like Cade Iacomelli coming over there. He may bump that up to a B plus if they legitimately take the time to get him some reps and get him going. I think there's talent there. But with how banged up those guys are, I am a little afraid. If we're looking at it long-term grade on that room, though, I'm going to say it's probably a C+. Like, we need to get more bodies in that room. Yeah. More bodies that we're comfortable with.
In a couple previous grades, Matthew Anderson has A+ quarterbacks by Badger standards. Jim Sainsbury has quarterbacks A++. It's not a grade. That's not a real grade.
I don't grade on Badger scale. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that because that to me is admitting that it's okay to stink.
And Jeff Ferris says nowadays season backup quarterbacks enter the transfer portal. That's a great point. It's hard to hold on to that season backup quarterback. All right. For the running back room, for 2023, I'm at an A- because I think Braylon Allen is a star. And I think Ches Malusi, you'd be hard pressed to find many number twos in Ches Malusi. I think he's experienced. I think in the system, he's going to work really well. And I like Iacomelli coming over. I think he's going to be able to step in this year. But long-term, because after this year, I think both those guys are gone, barring something weird. Right now, long-term, I'm at like a C because there's no heir apparent in that room at all.
Yeah, I and my only apprehension with those other guys is, like, I understand that the ceiling is very high, but there's also injury risk there, and that's where I pull it down to, like, a BB plus. Okay. It's like there's always that fear one of them goes down, and if one of them goes down, that room drops in quality really quickly.
Yeah, that's fair. I tend to think a lot – some of that is just bad luck, right? Like, you have two good running backs. One of them could be one of the best running backs in the country. I think almost Braylon Allen alone gets you into A territory, but I respect it. All right, let's go tight end.
Oh man, I wish we could grade on potential.
No, you can't do that. I think for tight end this year, this is my lowest position on offense. For tight end this year, I'm going to say a C, and it's not really as much a knock on the talent that we have there. Like, I think Cundiff is a good player when healthy, but we haven't been able to point to one dude, literally one dude, and say he's a really good player, and we think he's going to last the entire season. That's kind of scary for me. Now, long-term, I'm going to go B-. I like C. Greaves a lot. I like Tuck Rashcraft. I think there's some bodies there, but there is nothing proven for an entire year at tight end right now.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I would probably say a C for myself, too. I think that there's some bodies in the heading into the future I really like. I like Jack Pugh a lot. I think Ashcraft is somebody who does add something in Seagraves too, just like you said. And I think there might be a couple of receivers that get jumped over here. If McIntosh or Brooks comes over, there could be a really impressive bump in athleticism for that group. Because one thing I will say is there's going to be more split out tight end in this offense than what we've previously seen with Wisconsin. So there's going to be less of that blocking tight end body that we're used to seeing, and more guys who are going to be more sudden and athletic.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get some of these tight end comments. Jim Stainsbury says C and C. Mike Witt says C. Chad Coyer says C for 23 and B for the future. I think that's about where I'm at. Matthew Anderson says tight end is a B. If Cundiff is healthy, which is key, he's a darn good tight end. That is true. Like, he can get – we've seen him get behind defenses.
The issue I have with Cundiff is we need to hope that these injuries haven't taken a toll on him.
Agreed. And Roll Badge says C. Literally don't have a go-to guy there. I think that can be true too. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to receiver. Let's go to some fun ones now. Not that listen, if Clay Cund, if you're listening, not that the tight end's not fun, but let's get to receiver.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say an A, and I think that there's a chance that long-term this is an A+. Now, right now, this year, I think you're looking at, listen, the top, we're struggling to form a top four, and honestly, you could probably go as far as eight with what we have there, with guys that we look at and we're like, yeah, if this guy proves what he is, like, you and I have talked about Tretch a ton, and he's gotten some very positive buzz from the Polynesian Bowl. To them talking about how he's been the most impressive receiver there. And I look at it and I'm like, he's a guy who I think is just going to be a problem in the Big Ten going forward. And he may barely see the field this year. I think the top four guys are all capable of giving you 30 to 40 catches. And we know that probably won't happen. But I think Green, Williams, Bell, and DK are all guys that you're really confident in out there winning matchups, especially in this offense where there's going to be a lot of space for them to move.
Yeah, I think you're right about where I'm at. I'm tempted to go A- this year just because we just don't know with some of the young guys yet. Yeah. But it's really good. I think I'm going to go A- and then A+ for the future. Maybe I shouldn't, but like I look at CJ Tretch. I look at even Green has multiple years of experience left. Skylar Bell. I just think they're so loaded there for receiver. I'm going to say A- and A. I won't go A+. But
the biggest thing with the wide receiver room, the way I look at it, is simply this. It all depends on how explosive the guys are. If Green goes out there and has a 1,000-yard season, he'll probably go. If DK has a 1,000-yard season, he's probably gone. So there's a couple of guys there. Well, I mean, DK's gone either way. He's a senior. So, but you look at it, and like guys like Bell is only going to be a redshirt sophomore. You have Green, who's got 2 years left. So if Green goes for, like, say, 700 yards, he may come back and say, hey, I can show out my last year, you know, try to go for a 1,000 yards and 60, 70 catches and be hopefully a top three-round guy.
Yeah. And that's just going to attract more talent. That needs to become this positive feedback loop.
And CJ, you got to believe, is going to probably get his legs under him heading into next year and be a problem in the Big Ten going forward.
Well, that's the hope, right? Not every recruit pans out, but that's the hope. Mike Witt says Skyler in this offense is going to be fun. I agree. I think he's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's go offensive line. I'll start with this one. I'm going to say B plus this year and B plus long term. I think the addition of Renfro is huge. I think Renfro kicks Bordolini over to guard. There's a lot of competition for the other guard spot. I like Nelson. He's going to be his third year starting. He's going to progress. And I think Mullen, listen, Mullen had injury issues last year. I don't think this offensive scheme helped any of the offensive linemen having to account for nine people, eight people in the box. So I like the growth potential Mullen. And then there's a lot of young, high-level talent behind them. So I think it's a B-plus this year, B-plus for the future. My only concern is we haven't seen necessarily any of the young four- and five-star guys break out into like, oh my gosh, that's a first-round pick in the future type.
It will be very interesting to look at this season and see how this looks in comparison to what we've seen the last few years from the offensive line play. How big of an impact did having all those extra bodies in there affect the guys that we have out there in terms of their performance? It's possible that they look incredible this year. You know, if we find out that all those extra bodies were the problem, we could watch them be really, really tough in there. Like, there's a lot of talent in there in terms of like physical tools. The question is, does it all come together? I'm going to say I'm a little, I don't love the makeup of the room because it's so tackle heavy. Like but I do think we have enough bodies for depth in there. So I'm going to say that I'll say a B plus. And I think that the long-term right now, I'm going to say it's probably a B plus also. I think they need to start backfilling a little heavier though. Like this class for high school talent is going to be very heavy on offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked to see us bring in five.
Matthew Anderson's on a B plus, agrees. Renfro is huge. Huber is, you know, that's another big addition, graded out well.
Renfro's an A for me, Ed. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that guy has potential all Big Ten type ceiling to him.
And then Nolan Rucci, Mike Witt mentions, you know, hasn't seen the field so far. There's been a lot of high upside tackles ahead of him. That is definitely interesting to track. One other comment I wanted to throw in here, roll badge. I think we need to see Ryan versus Tretch one-on-one. Listen, I would get super handsy. I would just grab him as much as I could because –
considering he's also much stronger than you.
I know. He is listen, more athletic than me in every sense of the word.
I threw some film up in the Discord today because people were talking about this. Somebody had dogged him a little bit, saying that they didn't think that his 40 time was great. And there is a clip from him on his Twitter showing him run a 10, 9, 100, which equates out to a 4.5. So he's a legit 4.4 guy with his quickness. Is a major, major problem out there. He's going to be a guy that if you get beaten in the initial step, you're not catching him. Yeah. And that's why they talked about from the Polynesian Bowl saying he creates really easy separation. When you're faster than everybody else, yeah, you tend to do that. And plus, he's strong. Like Wisconsin slot guys have not typically had the level of strength. He's like a little stocky dude that just can mow through people.
Yeah, he's going to be a stud. I'm firmly convinced he's going to be a star. All right, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I don't know if we have time to do the defense. We might just finish up on some comments. We got to mention a certain Badgers defensive player also.
We can do it, Ryan. Let's have faith.
We'll see. Listen, I got a lot of shows to fill in. Right. But coming up next, we're definitely going to at least talk on a certain Badger cornerback hitting the portal, leaving Wisconsin as well. That's coming up next on Lockdown Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at Built Bar. I've talked about Built Bar. Listen, if you're trying to shed a little bit of poundage, be a little healthier, I know I am. I ate pretty well over the holidays. Built Bar is a great way to do it. Lots of protein, not a lot of calories, very little sugar, 100% real chocolate, great flavors, churro, double chocolate brownie, coconut almond, and it's filled with the nutrition that you're trying to get, but doesn't taste. And we all know those protein bars out there that taste like cardboard, like you're chewing on wood fiber on a deserted island. Built Bar is not that. You'll enjoy eating it. The texture is great. Go to Walmart, go to Sam's Club. You can get it there now. You don't have to order it anymore. They've gone mainstream. But here on Lockdown, we are in on the ground floor with Built Bar. So go to Walmart, get your four box bar. Go to Sam's Club, get your 13-box bar. You're going to thank me later. All right, let's keep the show going. Bring Justin back in. Really do appreciate everybody who tuned into the show. Justin, we did lose. We talked about it. I literally talked about Dean Ingram a day ago about how I was excited about his potential shift.
Jump back to defensive back. Dean Ingram, and then he hits the portal.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's going to be players leaving. We know that. Dean Ingram's a good player. I think he's a better cornerback than receiver, but I mean, it is what it is.
I'm going to be honest. I think with everything that happened and with his connection with his father and stuff, it's probably best for him to get a fresh start somewhere. And I think that, he's got a chance to prove some things as he could be a really good slot corner for somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think there's anything, looking for that opportunity elsewhere. I don't know if you can say that, he wouldn't have fit here, because I think that there was a spot for him. But I just think that it's, like, I can understand him wanting to find a new beginning somewhere else.
I agree. And playing time is going to be difficult next year for a lot of players. I think for a long time, and Justin, let me know if you think I'm on base here in the comments. Let me know if you think I'm on base. I think the previous staff, and by the way, this is a for better and worse thing. I don't think this is always a bad thing, but I think they played favorites a little bit, just in terms of seniority, in terms of experience, and maybe didn't play younger upside players as much. And I think Ingram, with a brand new coaching staff coming in, with a brand new set of eyes, wouldn't have had that built-in kind of cachet. Yeah. I think he would have had a bit of an uphill battle with Jason Matry coming in.
There's a lot of guys that I think are going to struggle with that, because there's a lot of guys who are used to having a certain pecking order, and that's going out the window.
Yep. Zach Bartz, he needs to be a defensive back, could be a stud nickel corner. I thought he was really good in that role 2 years ago, and I was shocked. I remember we were doing the BuckyCast. We talked about this, our previous podcast. I was like, why are they moving him to corner when they feel the need to bring in three transfer corners? It doesn't make sense to me.
He's more quick than fast. So it was a good spot for him in the slot, because you don't have to get deep very often. Your short area quickness really comes into play. And he fit that well.
Agreed. Slim Lewis, Jackson Aker ran a 10.900 in high school. Y'all are sleeping on how great he might be in Longo's offense as an H-back or running back.
I'm not.
That's really good.
It is. Jackson Aker is a very impressive athlete. The question I have on him is, does the staff know how to use him? So I'm not sleeping on him. I just don't know what they're going to do with him and where they're going to put him, because we're not going to be running traditional fullback anymore. So that means, where do they feel like he fits best? And that's where you kind of get into a spot, is do they look at him and say, we really don't have a place for this skill set? Now, as an athlete, he's got a lot of things you like, but you still have to fit the spot. Like, there's certain instincts and abilities that have to translate.
Well, in this step, I think we're more confident in this staff at least finding the ways to utilize offensive players. Slim, that's a great point. If he is kind of a forgotten guy, because we're going to move away from that fullback position, obviously, with Longo's offense, maybe he can be kind of that H-back weapon in the backfield. They can motion him out. I don't know. It'd be interesting to follow.
Yeah.
Several people in the comments here, nothing but best of luck to Dean Ingram. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Roy Lemus did the, I love this comment, because we talked about this, but I don't think this gets talked about enough when we see the offense struggle. Did the offensive line really underachieve when they were blocking 8 to 9 defenders? Now, the one thing I would say is, there's tight ends and fullbacks involved, so it's never the offensive line blocking 8 or 9. But I do think our predictability made it much easier for teams to blow up our
block. Yeah, the biggest thing that you can take away from watching last season was there was a ton of teams run blitzing us. And that means they know you're running the ball, because they're flat out saying, go ahead and pass. We'll take the risk that you're going to burn us, because they're not afraid of your passing game. So more often than not, we didn't challenge that at all. And we ran into, it's not even just that there's 8 or 9 in the box. It's that those guys are coming downhill at full force. Like, linebackers aren't read and reacting. They're just coming like, we're going to shoot gaps and try to blow this up.
Yeah. How about this? We'll do the defensive grades another show. We were just running tight on time, despite Justin's energy there. I do want to leave you on this, though, and in the comments, let us know as well. The staff is complete. We talked at the first segment about that. Justin, if you could almost grade, and I know this is almost impossible to do, but maybe not even a grade, how do you feel overall with the staff that Fickell put together now that all the pieces are plugged in?
Honestly, I have to go with the top one. Like, it's hard to go below an A simply because Phil Longo. Like, you rated a top 15 type offensive guy from another Power 5 team That was extremely well regarded. And not only did you do that, but the guy that you brought in then went out there and rated a bunch of four-star quarterbacks from around the country. And it's like, yeah, this is not something that is an expectation that you could have previously had going into this. I like the defensive guys. I like that we're going to be more aggressive in the front seven in terms of our line, hopefully long-term. So I would say that I actually feel pretty good. I would probably say that I really like the coaches you brought over from Cincinnati. I feel like he seems to be getting guys who are very strong coaches and have a track record. And, you know, seeing guys like Mitchell come over, who is very well regarded. I like the young guy in Spalding. So I actually think it is an A. Is there room for improvement? Probably. I mean, you could put together an all-star team of coaches. It doesn't mean they're going to work well together.
Like, yeah.
Put together the all-name team.
Toby Earl says the same thing. A on the staff. He agrees. Matthew Anderson says staff appears lights out on paper. When you have coordinators coming over to be position coaches, that says a lot. Referencing Hayes, the cornerbacks coach, who was a co-defensive coordinator in Minnesota, and Gadooly, who was the offensive coordinator for Cincinnati, coming over just to be the tight ends coach. I don't want to grade it necessarily. I know I asked you to do it, so I kind of put you on a spot. Because I really just don't know a lot of these guys really well, but I do – the things I like about it, I love the mix of really experienced coaches with some young coaches that I think are going to be good recruiters. I love – one of the sneaky things I love about it is Gadooly as like this heir apparent to Longo. Whenever Longo moves on, you kind of have that guy on staff already just to slide over. I think that's a lot.
Well, that's kind of the point that I was making. You have a bunch of guys that are still young enough to be hungry yet, and I think that that's important. Like, you don't want to have a bunch of guys who are like 50-plus that are just kind of finishing out their coaching career. Like, you want the guys who are still have things they want to accomplish. That's why I kind of look at it like Phil Longo. The big reason I look at it, why he wanted to come here, is he's like, he's wasting his incredible offense at a school that's not giving him a defense. So it doesn't matter. So he's getting 3-4 losses a year because games turn into track meets and then he ends up losing a few. And now he's looking for, he has an opportunity at Wisconsin to a team that has had an established defensive persona that you can hopefully have a very strong defense and a very strong offense to go with it.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. Slim Lewis says A-plus on the staff, Longo, Collins, plus the recruiting guys. Again, if you were to take the recruiting guys.
Yeah, if we're adding Collins and the recruiting guys in, it's an A-plus.
That's an easy
A-plus. Those guys, from what we've seen from the recruiting guys, they've been incredible.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Really do appreciate the show. I really appreciate everybody tuning into the show. Everyone that's going to listen later, whether on YouTube or podcast, whatever it is, appreciate you all so much. I have a thunderstorm here, so it's probably best before I kick this out, before weather forces me to do it. Thank you so much. Look forward to tomorrow. There is a potential big guest coming on. You guys are really, really going to enjoy it. That'll be later tomorrow. And aside from that, on Wisconsin, let's keep it going. Justin, thank you as always. All right.